Hello and welcome to Center Circle Live, live from the Dominican Republic. Marty Thompson here sitting in for Kurt Larson. He's in Toronto getting ready for the opening kickoff, which is now just a couple weeks away. Armin Badakian, still here with me. How are you?
What's going on, everybody?
And we're also joined by FC Edmonton striker Tommy Amawobi. Tommy, how are you?
I'm awesome. Thanks for having me.
What do you like about the setup? The pool?
The weather. Obviously coming from or living in Canada, especially Edmonton, it's been pretty cold the past couple of months, so it's nice to get a bit of sunshine in.
Very political of you to answer it that way, of course.
I've got to be careful what I say about Edmonton.
Speaking of Edmonton, we're taking in a bit more preseason. We're here for a couple more days, and we watched you guys take on Forge FC today, a nice little preseason skirmish. Forge FC, you know, very, very clean on the ball, very, very effective. But you guys held your own, I would say, as far as teams that have played against Forge in preseason. You guys looked very evenly matched, weren't chasing the match by any means. What was your impression? How was that kind of match as a like used as a measuring stick for where you guys are?
Well, first and foremost, it was more of an exercise for the guys who hadn't got as many minutes to date in the preseason. So it was awesome to see, especially some of the younger guys go out there and do their thing today. Like you said, for the majority of the game, it was quite close-knit. And obviously, Forge had some experienced pros out there today, but it's a great learning curve for us as a whole team. And obviously, some of the younger guys, I think we had a 15-year-old out there today. And he very much held his own amongst a bunch of guys. So yeah, it was good. It was good to see where we're at as a team and individuals, and what we need to work on moving forward.
And moving back there, you had the 2-0 win over the Dominican team as well. I'm not sure if you played in that one or not.
I caught
a little bit of it. Yeah. So what were your impressions of that? I mean, again, it's like it's good for you guys to get out there. Obviously, you play cavalry, but yeah, getting out there and getting some more minutes, right?
Oh, definitely. And the tough thing about living in Canada is that it's hard to find those kind of meaningful games. And that's not taking anything away from the university teams, because they do a great job at bringing players through. But it's just sometimes the mindset of the players when they know they're playing against a team who's of similar or even better caliber. You naturally raise your level a bit more. So it was great taking on the Dominican team. They were unknown to us, and yeah, at the end of the game we won 2-0, and I think we were very happy with the performance of the majority of individuals on the team and just the team as a collective.
Brilliant. I mean, yeah. You guys are now in preseason, you guys are enjoying matches, getting back in shape, but this month of preseason action wasn't always set in stone for you guys. There was a time this time last year maybe where the future of your club was in doubt. 1 year later, you guys are back. You guys are as healthy a squad as ever. Lots of players, lots of new faces. But take me through that, I guess, the period of uncertainty that you sort of had to survive, I guess. What were you thinking? What were your, I guess, emotions at that time? And what did you think about your own personal future with the club and with the city?
Well, thankfully, after the year where the NASL closed its doors, I was presented with the opportunity to go down to Cincinnati. But I know a lot of the guys in there that played in the NASL had to call it a day, because there wasn't much out there for them. All the other teams had basically filled up their rosters, so some of them had to hang up their boots. But obviously, having played in Edmonton for over 3-4 years, it was a kind of a blow. Because Edmonton at that time had become home for me, and I saw myself being in Edmonton for the foreseeable future. But as soon as I heard that there was a chance that the CPL was going to start and that Edmonton wanted a team in the league, myself and a lot of the players in Edmonton were 100% behind it, because we know what soccer, or football as I like to say, brings to the community in Edmonton. There's a lot of young, talented players that aren't able to sometimes make that next step because there's not always a platform for them to. So with the CPL and obviously a team in Edmonton, it gives those young players something to aim for. So it's awesome that we're here today. A lot of that has to do with the fans and how persistent they were with sort of the league and Tom Pfaff, our owners, Tom and Dave Pfaff, our owners, about there being a team in Edmonton. So a lot of thanks has to go to those guys.
It really was incredible the way the fans rallied around the team, and they're really a big proponent for why Edmonton is now in the Canadian Premier League. Maybe you can give me your take on what you saw from the supporters and, as a result, what you hope to see in the stadium come the start of the season.
Just a genuine love for the team and for the sport. Even during the year when Edmonton went dark, as they were saying, people were saying that the fans continued to meet on a regular basis to obviously continue to push to have a team in Edmonton. And so, like I was saying, that's one of the main reasons we are here today, is because of those guys. And even in the past years playing in the NASL, regardless of the weather, rain, sunshine, snow, if the game was on, those guys were there. They genuinely cared about the team, about us as individuals as well. And I know going forward that it's going to be even bigger and better from them.
And, you know, you at that point, you spent like 3 years, and, you know, like you said, you were ready to kind of make it home.
Yeah.
So in that that year when, you know, you kind of have to go to Cincinnati, it is, you know, that must be kind of like a bit of a shock, right? I mean, what, you were 28, 29.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the prime age where, you know, you want to find a place,
yeah,
right? Like, was it kind of like, did it kind of send you for a loop, or like, you know, that whole feeling?
Yeah, everything in my life was kind of up in the air at that time as well, because I was planning on getting married, which I did get married, but my visa was running out, my work visa was running out, so I was going to get kicked out of the country. So we had to kind of fast forward that whole thing. Got married with like 6 people there, which was awesome, but we did have to do a big celebration after that. And my wife was pregnant as well. It was kind of like, everything's changing, and everything's changing around me. We didn't seem to have a sense of that security that is sometimes as soccer players, we get used to and we like. And so there was just so many unknowns in our lives. And obviously being presented with the opportunity to go to Cincinnati, although I would have preferred if Edmonton had stayed around and I would have been in Edmonton, I'm just grateful again for that opportunity, because, like I said, many guys had to call it a day after that.
So you guys are back now. You're back with FC Edmonton. I know that you've made Edmonton your home. We've heard that you live in kind of a non-traditional, maybe, housing, rather than the apartments that most players like to post up in. Can you give us a kind of a details of your living situation right now?
So my wife and I, we are currently looking for a place to buy. We haven't found that yet, so we're staying at her parents. They live probably an hour north of Edmonton.
Is it a town?
It's
shout out the town. No, okay.
No, I probably wouldn't even call it a village either. It's an acreage.
Wow.
Incredible. Out in Sturgeon County. Beautiful. Honestly, the drive to work every morning, you see the sunrise, you see all sorts of things, moose, deer,
amazing,
coyotes. So yeah, it's a lot different than what I'm used to, but I've come to love it.
So on that note, we've been asking all of our guests about a good preseason story. There have been some scary ones, some dangerous ones, some death-defying ones.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one you have in mind here, but
Marty,
we'd love to hear
it,
Tommy.
Marty, I think I'm pretty sure which one he's got in mind here.
So for sure, it has to be this preseason story.
Yes.
Going camping in northern Alberta in like sub-zero temperature. I think the temperature one night must have been close to minus 30. I remember the first thing, getting to the campsite. Well, it wasn't even really a campsite.
Yeah, walk us through what it was like. We saw a couple photos. I don't think you guys were allowed to take photos or something like that.
So all our phones, we had to switch off our phones and hand them into the coaches before we got there. And immediately guys were like, all right, what the heck am I going to do for 2-3 days without any outside communication? But amazingly enough, like you were saying, there's a lot of homegrown players. So it didn't turn out to be too bad. Guys didn't really miss their phones. But yeah, I remember getting there the first day and someone from another vehicle had wound down their window and screamed, "We're all going to die tonight." And to be honest, the first few hours there, I feared for our safety a little bit, but the instructors we had were awesome. The first night, we were told that we had to, the only way you're going to survive through the night is by someone staying up all night and stoking the fire. And we were supposed to take shifts doing that. So our tent, there was a senior tent and a younger tent. Our tent, everyone fell asleep. Luckily, we had one guy's son get up during the night, and hats off to him, because I don't know if we'd be here today if it hadn't been for him. I woke up a few times and literally he just sat there poking the fire with a stick for like 4 hours. So we are here today because of him.
Amazing. So as we sit here in this beautiful tropical island, and you recount these stories of surviving under duress.
Yeah.
I have to ask, based on my favorite television program, Survivor, everybody handles these kinds of experiences differently. But let's say that at the end of this experience, you had to go to your own version of tribal council, where you had to vote out the one guy who just could not deal with that situation. Which one of your teammates was just having the roughest time?
I only say that because, so before we went to bed, they instructed us that we need to collect wood. We need to sort of make kindling. And so everyone in our tent is scrambling about to find pieces of wood to start shaving down. And we're like, where is Omar? And he's been asleep for like the past hour, just absolutely passed out. We try and wake him up. He's like, "Oh no, I'm tired.
All this being said, this must have been an incredible team bonding experience for you guys. Did you feel that afterwards? Did you feel like you guys got closer as a
yeah,
squad?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, most of the guys knew each other anyway. But what was amazing to see was just how guys kind of banded together during the activities that we were doing. You never really saw any little clicks like you do sometimes. And I've played in teams where there's one click over here, another click over here. But that wasn't the case at all. We had to band together. We had to cook our own meals. So we'd honestly just... players would volunteer, and it wouldn't always be the same group of players volunteering every time. There'd be a good mix, and so
I mean, like, it just seems like a trip that everyone at one point would just start laughing. Like, it just seems like it would just be so you're like, oh, this is amazing. Like, yeah
we were all questioning, like, how did we end up here? But no, it was a really good experience. And just seeing some of the guys who are usually a little bit more reserved, step out of their kind of comfort zone and interact on a level that they don't usually do was for me probably the best experience of the 2-3 nights we spent out there.
And in regards to being back with the team, there's a new look, a significantly younger squad,
yeah,
and a new head coach in Jeff Paulus. You're returning, but in a sense, things might feel like a start of a new chapter for you. So what's been your impressions of the club so far and of your new head coach?
I think of the club, I've thought this from day one, and this is something that I feel as though they've continued on, mm-hmm, as the club's restarted, is it has a family feel to it. And I'm sure every player in the club or who's played for the club will say that once you come to Edmonton, there's a sense of, I belong here, I'm wanted here. And I think that's very important, especially for the guys who come from out of town. Sometimes it can be very hard to settle into a place. To be honest, I had no idea where or what even Edmonton was before I got here.
What was your best guess?
I didn't have a guess. No frame of reference. So, but as soon as I landed here, everything that the club did, just the people in the city, just helped me settle down and acclimatize to obviously a new culture, a new style of football. So,
This squad's very young.
Yeah.
Especially when you look to the forward line too. Yeah. You know, you have Amanda, and I saw he looked pretty good today.
Yeah.
Another young player.
Yeah. So, you know, when Jeff Paulus, whenever he reached out, obviously he had the plan to bring some of these young players in, and you're kind of coming in as a veteran. Like, what was that conversation like? Did he kind of tell you, you know, what kind of role you were expected to play? He's like, listen, I'm going to bring in some of these kids, you know, take them under your wing. Like, what was that conversation like when you came in?
I think that's something that obviously Jeff expected from a lot of the senior guys that he brought into the team. Obviously, Edmonton have been known for having a good academy. They've brought a decent amount of players through that have played at a good level. And so, yeah, obviously Jeff kind of filled me in on his plans of who from the academy he was thinking about bringing in and kind of the leadership role that he wanted the senior guys to play in the team. Because sometimes as a young player, it's easy to kind of lose track and lose focus of the goal at hand. Being a professional isn't easy, and there's many distractions. So, but for the most part, these young guys have really come on board. They try and soak everything up, and it just makes things a lot easier on and off the field for us as a team.
So the narrative often is when a veteran player is sort of surrounded by younger players is that you'll be imparting your wisdom and you'll be giving them lessons, guiding them and taking them under your wing. But I'd like to flip the script on this. Mm-hmm. When you're surrounded by a bunch of players who are 24 and under, they're fast, they're hungry, they're raw, but they're very, very willing to like do the extra work. Does that sort of put you on your heels a little bit? Does that make you sort of motivate you to push on a little harder, knowing that these guys are sort of waiting for you to just be replaced?
Oh, of course. And that's something that I feel like I've always been aware of, especially as I've gotten older, is that if I'm not on my game, there's a dozen other players who want to take my spot. So that's something that I try and use to drive me in the right way. Obviously, I know there's a lot that the younger players can learn from senior pros, but on the flip side, there's a lot that senior pros can learn from those younger players. And so that's something we've talked a lot about at this trip as a group, that if a younger player sees something in the senior pros that doesn't quite sit right with them, they have that open channel to come and say, hey, look, I think you should be doing this better. I think you should be doing that. And the senior pros, it's part of our responsibility to also take that information on board and respect their opinion as well as they respect ours. So
tell me, I guess thing that makes you sort of secure in your role right now in a world where there's no necessarily security in a starting lineup is the fact that everywhere you've gone, everywhere you've played, you've proven yourself to be a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. We looked through your stats and we're very, very impressed to see that you're the second highest goal scorer in the Canadian Championship, right behind Toronto FC Sebastian Giovinco.
No big deal.
Former Toronto FC player Sebastian Giovinco, I should say. You're also the second highest top scorer in FC Edmonton history. You've scored goals every single season you've played in. And I'm wondering if maybe you haven't gotten the recognition you deserve for your exploits, for those goals, does the CPL, or are you hoping that the CPL will provide you with the adequate platform, the adequate spotlight to finally showcase to the rest of this country your abilities as a striker?
Obviously, as a striker and just any soccer player or football player wants to perform at the highest level, wants to give their all, wants to their output to be of the best in the league. And obviously that's something that I try and focus on season after season. But the older I've got, the more I've realized that I personally play my best football when I'm enjoying myself. Sometimes we focus too much on setting goals, and setting goals is great, but in the real world, we don't always reach those goals. And so we have to give ourselves a certain amount of leeway. And obviously it's awesome that I'm up there, but I can't take all that credit myself. I've got to give credit to the teams that I've played in and the managers that I've played under that have allowed me to be successful. And that's something that I don't take for granted, and know that it's something I have to work harder every day.
still you have an opportunity now where you can further continue to add to your goal scoring tally, especially in the Canadian Championship, as Edmonton will be participating in this new expanded format.
Yeah.
You guys will be avoiding that first round of action, but mm-hmm. you are heading into the Canadian Championship this season. Mm-hmm. What are you sort of hoping to see? And is there any particular team that you're looking forward to potentially playing against?
I'd love to play Calgary. I don't know, or Cavalry. I don't know how we line up, whether it's teams on either side of the draw, but it would be awesome to have a derby from the get-go, because I feel like that would set the tempo for the rest of the Canadian Championship. Like many coaches have said, and Jeff always says, to be the best, you've got to beat some of the best, and Cavalry will be a very strong team this year, I'm sure of that. And so, yeah, bring them on.
Might be in the semifinal. Yeah, that would be amazing. Be sweet. I want to ask about Jeff Paulus, because you are one of the players that have seen him, you know, from, I guess, that assistant coach role and now up to head coach. I mean, first question, I guess, is back then, mm-hmm. what did you see in him? Did you see kind of this jump in him, or you know, how did you see him becoming a head coach, and did you kind of buy into it at the time?
Well, from the get-go, I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for Jeff Paulus and the way he carries himself as a coach and how he wants the game of football to be played. I think it lines up with pretty much most players' ideal coach, in that he wants to get the ball down and try and play free-flowing attacking football. And so, obviously, when he reached out to me about potentially coming back, it was kind of a no-brainer, because obviously I haven't worked with him before. And obviously known his track record with the academy. It doesn't always translate over into first-team professional football, but obviously Jeff being around as assistant manager, I saw how he handled the training sessions that he was in charge of, and there wasn't a doubt in my mind, and there still isn't a doubt in my mind, that he's going to do a fantastic job for this team.
When Jeff Paulus took over this team, he stressed immediately that this is going to be a very local team. He didn't really want to look through the rest of the country. I mean, obviously he brought in players from across Canada, but leading the league in terms of local players in that roster with 10 players brought in, whether through the academy or just from around town. Mm-hmm. One of those players is Randy Edwini Bonsu, a big player, but is also an Edmontonian local. How, I guess you've lived in Edmonton long enough to feel as though it's home, but how special is it to be part of a club that is not only embracing like a Canadian soccer identity, but a very, very localized one as well?
Oh, it's amazing. And I think that is hats off to obviously all the local coaches back in Edmonton that have done a fantastic job of bringing all these guys through, whether that be through the academy or, like I say, through their local youth clubs. And it shows how much talent there is in Edmonton. And I'm sure there's many other cities around Canada that boast the same talent. But it is something special playing for the team where you grew up, I'm sure. Every player wants to represent their hometown team. And so for these guys to be given their chance, I'm sure they're going to make the most of it, run with it, and be as successful as they can be.
Does it also help when you guys are, like, you know, picking team outings when, like, more than half the team goes, "Yo, yeah, I know that place," or "I know that"?
Yeah, to be honest, you would think it would help, but everyone likes different things. So it takes us an eternity to make any decisions on simple things like where to go and have lunch.
Brilliant. So let's wrap things up here with just another little personal anecdote of yours. We know that you're not just preparing for the inaugural Canadian Premier League season. You're also working towards your law degree. It's an incredible initiative that you've taken on. Can you tell me a little bit about what inspired it and how far along you are?
I have to give props to my mother on this one. She was on my case for probably a good 5-6 years about doing something else apart from just football. And I ignored her. She nagged me constantly. And then when she finally gave up was when the light bulb came and went on, and I was like, oh, maybe I should think about doing something. And so I'm just about approaching the end of this year, and I've got one more year left. It's been a grind. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes the last thing I want to do, especially with a family now and a young daughter, is get home from training and start to do schoolwork. But obviously, thanks to my wife, and she does an amazing job at allowing me the time to set aside to focus on that as well. So, yeah, hopefully within the next year, I'll be done.
Brilliant. Yeah. Tomi Amiobi, thank you very much for joining the Center Circle Live on location.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been awesome.